Why don't you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 this evening? Ephesians chapter 4. It is a blessing to be back with you. It's kind of neat to be here every week and be a part of the study and start to see kind of the seating arrangement, how you kind of like got it and it's your seat. So that's neat to see. Kind of know like where I'm going to look, who I'm going to see, and it's all good.
Good to have you here.
So thank you. That's my father, so that's you. I played basketball in high school, and I'm blessed. Dad never missed a game, and I knew he was there. Also, was super thankful for the little sign in the entrance into the gym that said "no shirt, no shoes, no entry," because he probably would have had my number painted on his chest. So, thanks, Dad. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to pick up and finish off verse our chapter 4. Remember, we're in the let's get to business section of Ephesians. We're learning how to walk worthy. We learned first in walking worthy is a life of unity, being united as followers of Christ. And this week, we're going to see that in walking worthy, we are to live a life of purity. God has done a radical makeover in us. And so verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore," verse 25, "putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you have done. God, we thank you for another opportunity in this week to gather in your name and to be taught your truth. We do ask, Lord, that you would bring clarity to any section of this portion of Scripture, that you, Lord, would maybe even bring answers to any of the questions in the study during the week that we struggled with, and that you, Father, would just be honored in our time, that you would be honored in this gathering. May we stir one another up to love and good works. May we learn another area in our lives that we might walk worthy of the calling, that we might live up to the name of Christian or being a follower of Christ. And so we praise you and look forward to what you're going to do this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, congratulations, you made it to Fashion Week this week. You have arrived to a place in Scripture where Project Runway, What Not to Wear, and Makeover, like Personal Edition, Extreme Makeover, collide. You come to a point where you realize that your closet or your wardrobe has been completely removed and God has clothed you or provided for you a brand new wardrobe. We don't have Clinton and Stacy this evening. Rather, we have Jesus and Paul. We will have a trash can present where we will see the things that we have had to take out of our closet that we no longer wear anymore. But we will see that we have not been given a Visa card with $5,000 in it or on it, but rather we have been given by the blood of Jesus a brand new wardrobe like fashion Jesus that never goes out of style and lasts for all of eternity. I mean, many of you, or many women in here, I would say, you know, you understand the feelings that come when you get a new outfit or a new wardrobe. There's a few fashion-forward gentlemen that may understand that, but I also understand there's several men in here, you've had your Carhartt cargo pants for 6 years, and you just got them where you want them. You know what I mean? It's like you're not trading those in, but bear with me, okay? Let's go on the journey together. You understand that moment as you gaze in the mirror and you kind of discover, hey, you got a new look. A little makeover from a new outfit or maybe changing the color of your hair and this fresh feeling of there's something new, there's something exciting. You're ready for whatever life may bring its way. That's where we find ourselves this evening. In a worthy walk, when it comes to walking in purity, we are kind of before a spiritual mirror and we discover what we have in Christ and what we are as we look in the mirror from what Jesus has provided. As you come and look and see, hey, we've made it to Fashion Week, you have Jesus fashion in your spiritual closet, but look at how it transfers or works through, starting in verse 17. Paul comes in and says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." If you could do me a favor, look at verse 22 and kind of see what fills the trash can, what wardrobe we trade in that we can get the wardrobe that Jesus has provided. Verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts." Then you go down to verse 25 and look at what gets what is put into our spiritual closet, "and that you put on," verse 24, "the new man," or the new person, "which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We begin to discover that we have a wardrobe as a believer that never goes out of style. And the real neat thing about this wardrobe is it's not a clothing or a wardrobe to cover us up, but rather it's fashion for our soul. It's a work that God has done in us and in our lives. I would put it this way as you begin to look at it here. You may be scared at first, but this wardrobe, it contains no Spanx, okay? There's no equipment to help kind of hide things and make you look better than you really are. The Spanx aren't there, but rather it's the work that God has done and how we are to walk worthy with the wardrobe Jesus has provided. And so we go this route. Notice the first thing. In our spiritual wardrobe, the fashion week that we've arrived to, we discover this, that we are a new creation. We are a new creation. Now, these aren't garments. This isn't clothing to cover up, but rather we have a complete makeover in Jesus. He started out here with this new creation work. We put something off and we replace it by putting something on. Verse 22, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man." Notice how the old man is described, "which grows corrupt according to its deceitful," or to the deceitful lusts. You can look throughout God's word and discover that the phrase old man, it speaks of a decrepit, continuing to decay. Really, the idea is the sinful man. Paul would write in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, and that idea of putting off our sinful man, that our sin is crucified with Christ, that old man was. And the body of sin has been done away with. So to get this idea here of putting off the old man, it speaks of our sinful life. It speaks of literally who we were before we met Jesus. Remember how he started in verse 17? Don't walk as the Gentiles. Your former way of walking, people that do not follow after Jesus. So we come here in this fashion week demonstration spiritually, and we see that a closet is cleared out, a putting off of the old things. Now, I'd like you to look at that putting off as not just a taking off, but literally a throwing off. For the phrases put off and put on are best understood in how we change our clothes. That's really the descriptive words that are used here. You know, we get out of our pajamas and we put on our clothes for the day. Some of us are a little daring. We may wear our pajamas to Walmart and walk around, but hopefully there's an exchange and hopefully that doesn't become the norm. All right. There's times when maybe that happens, but not a good idea. Okay. So, the putting off is literally the taking off, but I like the translation that puts it, throw it off. It's this idea of you discover something disgusting has been put on that shirt and you want to get it off of you and as far away as possible. So the new creation work is Christ has impacted your life, so you put off, you have emptied the closet of the former things. There's a change that takes place, and I think we see some things that are put off. The futility of your mind, there's a mindset. Or a change in mind. You put off your way of thinking. You'll see in the first verses we looked at in 17 through 19, the change of mindset. You see the phrase futility of their mind. It literally speaks of a person whose thinking is devoid of worth and reality, completely detached from reality. They're chasing after vanity. They have no clue of what is really going on. The change in mindset we put off, the understanding darkened. It speaks of a permanent blindness in respect to moral truth or respect to the spiritual things of the Lord. There's a darkness that is overshadowed. He goes on to put further, there's an ignorance in them. This ignorance isn't an outside thing, but within their own lives, a ignorance that is lived to the point of which you're alienated from God. The mind has been seared with a hot iron. I think of the best biblical example to illustrate this place of where we once were and the things God has taken off of us or were to put off. Is in that moment when Pilate has Jesus stand before the crowd and he makes that powerful statement, "Behold the man." And there before the crowd is Jesus, God in flesh. And the crowd sees purity, God in flesh, all holiness, the sacrifice, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And he gives the crowd a choice, right? Who do you want me to release? Jesus or Barabbas? And the crowd shouts, "Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, the murderer, the rebel." That understanding darkened, that alienated from God, the futility of the mind. Notice that what comes out of the closet, we put off that old man, that Gentile way of walking, with also a changed heart. Not just a changed mind, but notice he mentions something of a blindness of heart. The blindness of heart there, the better way of looking at it is a hardening. It speaks of a hard stone, a stone harder than marble, or in a medical sense, a hardened callus. And you'll see how it transfers over to even the point of kind of a loss of feeling. We might refer to it in a having a heart of stone. This hard heart, this change of heart, is this moment in an individual's life when they have abandoned the truth of God and are living for their own ways. Or you could write down this in your notes, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, this putting off, there's not just a changed mindset, that darkness, that lack of understanding, that futility of mind, that hardening of heart, harder than stone, no sensitivity or conviction, or I'd even go this way, the other attitude, no real satisfaction anymore in the things of the world, and so the cravings increase, to also this, putting off a change of action. Notice what the text says, that they're given over to, verse 19, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is that old man. This is that description of the old man that's corrupt and spoiled and given over to evil longings. And it boils down to even this extent, an action of being given over to lewdness and to work of all uncleanness. But look at the phrase given over to, or given themselves over to. I think of in the book of Romans in chapter 1 where it says that God gave man over to the lust of their hearts, where he gave them up to vile passions, where he gave them over to a debased mind. These people are living in their sin, or we at one time, our closet was full of this. Living in that sin, but we have come to a point where we have a change that has taken place. And it starts in verse 20. The closet is emptied of the old man, and really the doctrinal sense as it's laid out here. But notice verse 20, how the change begins to happen. You become a new creation. You've put that off because of verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Can you see a difference here? Notice something about verse 20. A change in life when you heard the gospel, when you learned of Jesus and all that he was and have received Christ, turned to Christ. It's interesting that notice there was the old person or the Gentile that was darkened in understanding, the futility of the mind, the hardening of the heart. But notice how it's put here. You learned Christ. You've heard Christ, you've been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. There is a work of becoming a new creation, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. But look at the transition. You first learned Christ. We have the fullness of Jesus that we have heard. We have not just a part or an aspect of Christ, but all of Christ, from his teachings, from his actions, from his death and resurrection. They have learned, and we have learned all of Jesus. And all that we need to know of Jesus is found in his word. But then he goes and adds something else in this work that Jesus does in clearing out the closet and bringing in a new wardrobe as a new creation. You've heard from Jesus. Now, it's safe to say just from simple logic that the church of Ephesus or the surrounding churches, Jesus didn't come in and like do one of their Sunday mornings. He wasn't on a traveling, you know, campaign releasing his new book and his disciples' CD and all that good stuff. No, they never heard him literally teach or preach. But there's a unique idea here. Yeah, they heard the teachings and the words of Jesus through the teachers that were sent. Listen to this. Dr. Bruce puts it this way. Christ himself is the Christian's teacher. Even if the teaching is given through the lips of his followers, to receive the teaching is in the truest sense to hear him. Have you realized this tonight? You did not come to study to just meet with a group or like, let's hear what Chris has to say this week. But you came in here, eye-opener, to hear Jesus. We gather in here and we have learned Christ, but Jesus is teaching us in this moment. An eye-opener to come with expectancy and excitement. To come in with the readiness of, I'm going to hear from Jesus this evening. An eye-opener for the teacher or the representative, or in my case, am I prepared? Have I spent enough time to where I represent Christ correctly? And you leave having said, I heard from Jesus tonight. We have the sphere in which all this takes place. The truth is in Christ. It's not this idea of, well, the truth that's in Jesus and there's truth elsewhere. Rather, it's an exclusive statement that all the truth there is in Christ. He's the place and where it's found. So we go from this former dark, calloused, hard place because we have heard, we've received and learned what Jesus has and we've been taught from Christ. The closet gets emptied and notice what goes in now. Verse 24, we have like one of the big reveal moments here that you, verse 24, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Look what you're to put on. You're to put on what is new. It's a great thing that we're not just told, take it off. And we run around like a 2-year-old out in the backyard, you know, with a diaper or like nothing on but a sock. You know, hey, look at me. No, we're replacing something. We're putting something else on. this great call for us. Notice this, as we change our wardrobe, we take things off in our life. We're to replace them with something new. We don't cold turkey like, I am never going to do that anymore. No more futility of mind. Well, it needs to be replaced with something. Jesus calls us to take something off, but we put something else on in replacement. And here we begin to see he takes what's old, rotten, corrupt, and foul, and he gives us what is new. And understand this idea of new. It's new not in the sense of time, but in quality. New in the sense of quality, not of time. Big difference, especially if you came from a big family and you were not like top of the rung. You know, you're like third or fourth child. You understand that idea of new in time or new to you, right? You know, your older brother, older sister, they got the brand new Levi's or the brand new Wranglers, but you're like the fourth child and you weren't too well to do. And so, like, they eventually became new to you. They were handed down, right? This is a newness in quality. It's not this wrap up, open up or wrapped gift under the Christmas tree. You open it up and it's like Converse from the Goodwill. Well, they're new to you. Yeah, but somebody else, this is old too. It's this idea that Jesus, that the work of God has come in and totally bulldozed what is old. Didn't renovate, didn't strip it down to the studs, didn't try to throw it in the washing machine and make it new to you, but a complete reconstruction. This newness of life, this newness of person, it is from God, not corrupt and not from our own lust and flesh. But look at how it's described. This, the newness is in righteousness and holiness. You mean to see what comes in and what the tags say there. It's Jesus fashion. And instead of sizes, you've got righteousness and holiness. The idea of righteousness here, it's our man words, the way in which we interact with each other. We are clothed, we have this newness we put on that speaks of righteousness, how we behave with one another. Right living with our fellow man. Holiness goes the opposite way. Not we have our righteousness between each other, how we treat each other, but holiness is our behavior before God. You know, remember the call to be holy as God is holy. This idea of what is new, it's a new quality. God has made us a new creation, a complete taking out of the old wardrobe. There is a putting on of a brand new wardrobe, and it is righteous and it is holy. It's a once and for all act. A once and for all moment when we put off the old and we put on the new. Two parts. God's part of saving us and making us a new creation. But do you see the act of repentance? You put off what is old and you embrace what is new. Now notice what you have though as a daily work. And then there's some sweet application as we kind of put the rubber where the road is. Verse 23, after you realize you're a new creation, old's gone, new's come, you've repented and turned. There's a new concentration. Look at what he puts out in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The put on, put off is seen in some as like a you put off once and for all. You put on once and for all. The idea here though of renewed is a everyday continual growth, continual basis. You know, every day as you wake up, like I am going to renew the spirit of my mind. I am going to renew my mind. I want my mind to be transformed. You can look back on God's work where you put things off and put things on. But every day you get up, renew your mind. And think of how much sense that makes. How comfortable some of those older clothes are. How you wore it out, right? Your wife is like, you have so many holes in that, but it's comfortable. And I'm representing my high school basketball days. You know what I mean? Still wearing your state championship from like 75. There's that renewing of the mind, the decision. I'm not going to return to those old clothes. I'm not going to try to put those back in my wardrobe. I don't want Clinton and Stacy coming back and seeing that I've totally thrown out all of their wardrobe rules here. This renewing of the mind is a day-to-day battle within your mind where you choose to be refreshed in the truth of God's Word, where you commit to not return to what in the old self was comfortable and enjoyable, that brought maybe just a moral numbness and you got to live for whatever felt good, but you choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind day by day. You daily renovate, you daily have an inward reformation that takes place. How do we daily renew our mind? I think the scripture gives us a few practical things. First, renew our mind in prayer. I think of David's great prayer, you know, create in me, God, a clean heart or a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. There's a great way in the daily. I want to renew my mind. I don't want to return to what's old. I want once and for all victory, the daily prayer, Lord, help me not to return. Lord, help me to keep my feet planted. Help me to embrace the new wardrobe of righteousness and holiness. Secondly, exercise discipline in your thoughts. Exercise discipline in your thoughts. I think of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 10:5, to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Or that call in Colossians chapter 3 to set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. A daily discipline of I will not let myself go to the old wardrobe. I won't let myself think of how comfortable that once was. And clearly, I think scripture is clear, the idea of renewing your mind daily, the Word of God. That it would wash your mind, that you would be firmly planted, as Paul speaks in Romans 8:6, of that difference between the man who is dead in their sin and a slave in their sin, and one who is set free and following and practicing the Word of God. When the Word of God becomes a light and a lamp to your feet and to your path, the renewing's daily. It's a daily get up commitment. I'm going to spend time with the Lord in His Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to discipline my thoughts. You know what? You got to realize this. You may think you can get away with the thoughts, but the thoughts is what will start the wardrobe change. The thoughts is what will begin to reverse the process where you'll clear out what you were to once and for all put in the closet. Now notice, the third thing I'd like to show you here, not only a new creation, the put off, put on, you're new in Christ, His work in your life as you have been taught, as you have learned Jesus and heard Him and find truth in Him. Not only a new concentration daily, my mind, I need to be on what God has laid out in His Word. I got to be committed in prayer and discipline my mind. But there's a new conduct and a new conversation. A new conduct and a new conversation. Look at this. We get these great practical examples that are real to our times. The rubber, you know, meets the road here. This is real stuff. We get kind of this heady background stuff, and then He's like, here's day-to-day life for you. I think of how things have changed in our society with the increase of technology. Do you remember trying to put something together, you know, say 10 years ago, and you'd have to open up the instructions or the directions? And a lot of times as guys, you're like, I'm not even going there. I'm going to figure it out, right? And then you got a mess some of the time. But you read those directions or instructions, sometimes they can be kind of confusing. They're using these crazy words. You got to get a dictionary out. But nowadays, you can like just go on and you can just watch a YouTube video on it. I mean, really, I'm waiting for YouTube to hand out PhDs and bachelor's degrees. You can learn to do just about anything on YouTube. You can learn how to run a tube TV with AAA or AA batteries. It's fascinating if you're a nerd like me, but that's all right. You get that moment where you get to watch kind of some practical YouTube videos of how this put off and put on works. Yeah, it's to be once for all, but let's be honest, sometimes some of those pieces of clothing spiritually can seem so comfortable. So look at the first example. He starts in verse 25, this new conduct, new conversation. You can see where they fall into the point. 25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Remember the new creation you are, you have put something off and you put something on. God's prescription for change in your life It's not just take it off or stop it, but it's stop and replace it. Notice verse 25, the practical application. What are you to put away? You're to put off lying, the text says. But what do you put on instead? It says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This is an application to churches. There were people that attended the church, and there's even people that attend Abide Fellowship, and they struggle with lying. We know that lying is a deception, a twisting of the truth. It's outright not telling the truth. And really call it what the scripture calls it. Notice that the Bible doesn't, you know, it's a white lie, it's okay. No, God sees lying as lying. It's not a thing, you can't say that a lying, it's a white lie, or, well, I like to call it, I was, you know, being creative with the facts. No, you're lying, try to be politically correct. Or maybe when called out and twisting the truth, like, well, I was just playing. Like, I really didn't mean it that way, and try to backpedal. You want an understanding of lying, we can look at what God views it as or how God sees it. And we see that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Listen to this. We're to put off lying and look at how God views it. He puts this command out, but put outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. How crazy is that? I mean, God sees, like, okay, we've got murderer, sorcerer, liar. Who practices it and loves it? Why are we to put off lying? It's a misrepresentation, or misrepresenting our God who is truth. It is a selfish thing. Many times we may go and embrace a lie or tell a lie because it makes us feel good or it protects us. But God just doesn't come like, stop it. He says, put it off and look at what you're to put on. Tell the truth to your neighbor. It's this idea of look at what happens. You are a truth teller because you've become a new creation. There is a radical difference between this. Lying and telling the truth, but even look at how this practically works out in your life. How hopefully in the renewing of your mind, you put off the lie when it's in your mind. When you're just first confronted with it, if you struggle with lying, you know that moment of just like, I want to protect myself. I'm going to lie, but you can put it off in that moment in your mind and go, no, I'm committed to telling the truth. You could even be in that moment when you start the lie and you're just a sentence or two into it, but you even in that moment can put it off and wait a minute. I'm going to put on the truth. What I just told you was a lie. This is what happened. You even having God's grace, this idea, you have totally told the lie, dropped it, you've lived in it for a while, but you can even tonight go back and put off that lie and tell the truth. Do you see God's gracious work where the rubber meets the road when it comes to the struggle of lying? Lying even within the church, do you see the worthy walk this is of purity, of integrity? Notice the next example. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The next example here of putting off and putting on is putting off sinful anger, or you can see it there in do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We are to put on instead a righteous anger. It's okay. Notice even the text says, be angry and do not sin. Sin is, or anger can be a healthy and good thing. I think of Mark chapter 3 where there was a man with a shriveled hand and Jesus saw the people surrounding him, the hardness of their heart, and he was angry with them and he told the man with the shriveled hand, stretch it out, and he healed the man with the shriveled hand. The anger was used for good and to correct a problem. Anger can be that energy to push us to deal with sinful issues. It can be what pushes us and gives us the energy to solve a problem. I remember when I had just graduated high school, 18 years old, I had bought my own car and I was driving to AutoZone to get some oil. I was going to do an oil change on my very own car. And I went to the particular AutoZone in Apple Valley. And Herb, who does the CD ministry, the media ministry, and the men's study, had worked at AutoZone at that time. If you part of men's study, you know Herb, an older guy. He had retired from the police department, and he was just working at AutoZone, I imagine, just to keep busy. A neat guy. Well, I had kind of come in as this young man, you know, in the prime of manhood, 18 years old. Like, I had 6 armpit hairs and could grow half a mustache. Like, I come in, and they had some shady business going on. A man was committing fraud. He was trying to buy parts with somebody else's credit card, and the store was trying to keep him. The police were on the way, and I had come in as this man had come out of the store and was, in a sense, attacking one of the ladies at AutoZone. He was trying to rip her out of her car, and this big thing was going on, and I'm, you know, 18 years old, manhood. I froze. I'm like, whoa. This is like an episode of Cops. But Herb realized this is wrong. It didn't care that he would later go on to get like 2 hip replacements and a knee replacement, and he had already retired. Homeboy rolled out like the Terminator and choked this dude out for what he was doing. He held him down. I remember being like this young guy that's supposed to just be able to do it, going, "Do you need a glass of water, Herb? Do you need to call somebody?" Already did. I'm like, all right, I'll be back, you know? But what did he do? He directed his energy to a problem, to protect somebody, to stop the fraud that was going on. You see, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. The difference is the sinful side is this. It's an anger that is explosive and destructive, destroying property, hurting people. It's an anger that is not directed towards resolving a problem, seeking forgiveness, dealing with something that we wouldn't want to deal with unless we had this emotion to drive us. It's rather this moment of just in anger, I'm going to punch something, and you go to swing and punch the wall, and God just like gets your attention. You hit a stud in the wall, and so it didn't go down like you thought, and you get even angrier and take a few more swings, and you got a swollen hand. Or a mouth that just comes unleashed and just scourges a person, belittling them and hurting them. Notice the putting off. Put off that wrath. Put off that anger and put on an anger that deals with the problem and not hurting the person or damaging property or even in the reverse side, becoming embittered. And you're not blowing up. You're not punching things because it hurt last time. Instead, you're just stewing inside and getting bitter. Don't let the sun go down on it. Deal with it that it might not give a place for Satan to further push and the anger get even more severe. Notice the next one in verse 28. New creation, new concentration, new conduct, and new conversation. He deals with stealing. This one's clear, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with the hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. What do we put off? The 5-finger discount, right? That coupon is expired, all right? There's no longer that stealing, and understand it, this stealing can range the gamut from, you know, that rationalizing in yourself, like, well, the company owes it to me, or hey, it's just a paper clip, or it's just, you know, I'm kind of borrowing on long term. When they realize it's gone, I'll bring it back. No, he who stole, steal no longer. A complete change of putting off a selfish action of fulfilling your one and desire. Here's something I think is even interesting. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 through 31, Solomon writes a proverb that deals with a thief, one who steals. Even if they steal food out of hunger or to prevent starvation, he says, no excuses can be found. He must repay sevenfold. I mean, that's crazy to think. He's starving to death and he wants an apple, and you're like going to send Aladdin down for sevenfold? Yeah, because we understand the point where they should come to the church and the church should be able to help, or even the act that maybe their act of starvation is God's way of getting their attention for their sin. But he deals seriously with stealing. But here's something unique here. Notice where you see this work of a new creation. Look at verse 28. He who stole, steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Stop right there. Now, you think about it. They steal the candy bar. You would tell your child, like, you know, don't steal the candy bar. Instead, do what? Work to earn some money so you could go buy what? The candy bar. Doesn't that make sense? It's like, we want to teach you to work so that you could get what you at one time wanted to steal. But this is radically different. You're a new creation. Notice this, that they would labor, not so they could go get what they were going to steal, but rather so they could give to somebody else in need. It's something totally and completely different. It's this idea that it's really a Christ-like attitude of giving and meeting the needs of somebody else. It's not what we would say of like, well, okay, work for it so you can earn it or buy it, but rather it's you're completely different. You have totally put off stealing. Now your laboring is to help those in need. And then finally, we come verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Here comes your conversation. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Do you see the command of putting off? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. The corrupt word, it speaks of rotten, worthless, worn out, completely unfit. It's like, you know, I hate to be so mean, but you need some Listerine. All right? You know, wait, come back. You need a Tic Tac. Okay? So it's this corrupt word, what is rotten and filthy. It encompasses dirty language from the gamut. A racial joke, a perverted joke, a perverted saying, cursing, belittling. I mean, it kind of covers it all. And he says, put it completely off. And notice what he follows up with in verse 29 of what you're to put on. It's not like put off cursing and put on like Christian cursing, you know, saying fudge or something like that. Notice verse 29, but what is good for necessary edification. Do you see the complete radical transformation that should take place? The total purity, not trying to take what was, you know, maybe in the world, it's worthless in Christ, but it's like, I want to kind of make it over. Maybe I'll add a little bit of length on the material so it covers up a little more. No, he goes the complete opposite. He might impart grace to the hearer. This idea of a conversation that is attractive, that's full of grace. I think of how it's put in Job 4:4, your words have supported those who were falling. You encourage those with shaky knees. How do we go about this? How do we go about it when we look at our life and we see some common things and there's more that are mentioned? I want to give you some things in dealing with this. Find a replacement. Remember where he says not to, he responds with something to do. You know, your search may be realizing, man, there is this old piece of wardrobe that needs to be taken out. Guess what? He doesn't want you to have an empty closet. Find a replacement. Discover what is new in Christ. And you know what? You'll likely start with the complete opposite of what it is you know you need to replace. Here's another thing. Listen to the warnings of others. When someone points it out, strive to put it off and put on something new instead. You know, a lot of times you may not see the stain on the back of the garment until somebody says something. You know, hey, excuse me, do you know you have this a warning of sin? Thirdly, act now. Don't let the truth be spoken. Remember, you heard from Jesus tonight. I mean, how many times do we come in and get convicted and stirred, but we walk out and over our Five Guys burgers and fries, which is now open, just so you know, you forget what you were going to do. Look at this sweet reminder in Act Now, verse 29. Do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Why do I say a sweet reminder? Because I think that sealed the day of redemption. Remember, it takes you back to all the spiritual hookups you have in Christ. Why would you grieve the Spirit? Why would you bring sadness maybe to understand it, or as Paul would write in other epistles, quench the Spirit? He sealed you. You can see other good reminders of put off and put on to maybe even talk about in your group in 31 through 32. But as we recap, look at this. A worthy walk is a walk of purity. It's fashion week. That closet's been emptied. The trash can is full of the old corrupt self. But because of what I have heard and know, I have put on what is completely new and always in fashion for all of eternity because it's Jesus fashion. And we've got the little YouTube video glimpses of specific areas of lying, stealing, anger, speech to work on and to look at and to act now that we don't grieve the Spirit that sealed us. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We ask God as we go to our groups now that you would bless our conversation. Lord, I pray as we talk about the things that we learned, the ways in which you ministered to us, I pray, Lord, that you would even use group time to really show us some things in our life that need to change. And in that striving to walk in purity, may we really put on those things that are in you, that we would put on righteousness and holiness, acting rightly and behaving rightly with one another, and thus, Lord, in that also acting holy in our relationship with you. Be with our group time now in Jesus' name. Amen.